visiting their daughter, Cara, for a few days, two or three days up there. And so they're up there, and that's going to be a great blessing for Peggy. No, for Jim, too. I know, you know. Jim didn't even want to go to Israel. You know, he knew I committed, so I got to go. He'd rather stay home and read. I don't even know if he got to take a book because he had to talk the whole time, you know. I'm sure he let Rami talk a little bit. You know, let's go this way. Rami gets the guide. He says, let's go this way. So, but I know that it was a blessing because, you know, I went back in May, and it's just incredible. I did get a picture. Anybody get the picture? R.E. sent a picture of him up in the front of the, he's standing up next to the fence that's around the Garden of Gethsemane. No. I mean, yeah, so I got a little picture the other day. Yeah, and I didn't want to read the caption. You know, I didn't want to read the caption. Don't tell me. This is R.E. in Israel. Where is he? I looked at the picture, looked around. Oh, it's a big gnarly tree. He's at the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you look at the bottom? Hey, he's at, I remembered. So a picture of R.E. At the Garden of Gethsemane with Judy Menikos, one of our Fort Worth ladies. He's kind of standing off in the background. So, and the church that is right there on the hill. What's the name of that church? It's a church at the rock where Jesus fell down and prayed. You know, Lord, not what we just prayed, you know. Lord, if it be possible. You know, so everybody venerate. The rock has been venerated down underneath, you know. It's almost down to a nub. I'm sure it was some huge rock, but now it's, you know, nothing. And so all of this, it's like the tomb. The tomb is, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb has been, the place where Jesus laid has been venerated, touched, hands laid on, and so it's gone. I mean, it's just not there anymore. So, if that was the place. If it was the place. I mean, it built this big thing, you know, around it. So, and if it was the rock, you know. We had people praying over the rock, you know, laying on the rock. And I was like, I'm not going to bet on this one. I'll just sit here in my seat and thank the Lord that he went ahead and said, okay, nevertheless. You know, you want to thank God for saying nevertheless rather than, No, I don't think so. After thinking about it, I think I'll just not. No. Jesus, which is powerful because he's the only one that could have done what he did. Jesus is the only one who could have done that, isn't he? He's the only one who could have redeemed me. I mean, if he decided, heck with it, hey, ain't worth it. If he decided that, you know, it's over. But you know what? He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. Do you need love this morning? Do you need to be loved this morning? I do. He loved me. I'm his beloved. I'm my beloved's and he is mine. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start with Proverbs chapter 3. It's about trusting the Lord. So the message today is about trusting the Lord. Because there are things too big for you. Now, you're pretty big. You're big boys and girls. But there are things that are too big for you. Things that will overwhelm you. Things that will stress you out and overwhelm you and take you to the cleaners. And in fact, there are things that will make you, they'll take you to the cleaners so that you will do things that you would not normally do, which are a mess. You'll do anything to try to save a situation, to try to save yourself. And you have to turn to God because sometimes you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up worse than it is. You got to know God. You got to be able to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to stop and I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. But Proverbs chapter 3 starts out, my son, here's the basis of trust. Forget not my law. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. The word keep does not mean obey. The word keep in the scripture here, there's two different words for the word keep. can't remember quite what they are, Nautar and Shawnar, Shawtar. Those kind of sound the same, just begin with an N and one begins with SH. And what they really and what they indicate is to guard or to observe, to watch over, to keep them, make sure they're safe. So when he says, and this is the Old Testament, this is the Hebrew, he says, "My son, forget not my law." Now we hear that over in over when Peter is talking to you, over in the Epistle of Peter, he says, "I'm going to remind you of these things till you're dead, till I'm dead." I don't know about you, but I'm going to remind you of all of these things, the things that I've already told you, the things that you already know. I'm going to continue to remind you of them until I am dead, so that when I am gone, you will always have them in your remembrance. You'll always have them in your heart. You will keep them yourself because they are in you. They're part of you. Amen? That you cannot get away from. You know, there are certain images, they say there are images that do not get away from you. You know, when you see a photograph or something graphic, whether it's horrifying or pornographic, or that those images, they stay with you. They stay in your head. You know what is true of things that you're taught? Children are taught things. And whether they go off and decide not to do one thing or the other, they are still have them. And when God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is, that will actually, it will not depart from him. Because it's in there. It's written on him. First of all, in Romans 1, he says, God said, they're without excuse because God showed it to them. His glory and his majesty and his power, God has already showed it to you. Not only this way with the eyes and the ears, but God showed it to you on the heart. You have a natural law that's built into you just like gravity is built into the planet. Amen? There is a natural law, there is a ROM, read-only memory, there's the part of your program that is there and it doth not, you know, it's like the babies, they have the sucking instinct. It's there, it's built in. There is a built-in. That man knows God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because he's going against his own nature. He's going against his own nature because he wants there to be no God. He wants to be, you know, the heathen. Why do the heathen rage? Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Yeah, because he says it down further. He says, let us break their bands asunder. Let's get free. That's what it's all about. Is get free. I want to get free from this God. You know what? You never can. You never will. And God said, in fact, he made a provision for you to live and have the best of his creation rather than fall off the edge of it. As if the world was flat and you just sail off the end. You know, essentially that's pretty much how it works. Is you know, you're deciding to go against God, and there is a point at which, yeah, you'll just fall off the edge because there is nothing out there. There's nothing out there besides God. God created the entire universe. He created everything that is. Not only the earth, but the heavens as well. So everything that God has created is himself. And the creation is not God, but he created it all. And so therefore, you're off into the hands of God wherever you go. You leave the planet, you go to the moon, go to Jupiter. Well, but get away from God. He's only God of the earth. No, he's not. He's God of the universe. Amen? See, I'm too involved in my own brains. I'm too involved in my own stuff, my own self. No, it's about glorification of God through this vessel. Do I have a mind? Do I have a brain? Yes. But that is designed to glorify God, not for his own peculiar purpose of megalomania, but so that he can bless me and I can receive the blessing of him. That's what his glory is all about, is about me. Amen? See, his glory is about taking blessing me. And then the glory that comes to him comes off of the fact that I am his beloved. Amen? So now, what I'm doing is building this relationship for you. To build that relationship to cause it to make this world, even though this world has relationship between you and me, and between those who trust in the Lord and those who have forsaken the Lord to redeem them and to bring them back into the kingdom. the primary means or necessity of that relationship, or the primary goal of that relationship, is to what? God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's the purpose of the gospel. That's the purpose of Genesis 3:15. You know, your seed shall crush the head of the serpent, but he's going to get him a little bit. He's going to bruise his heel. But the whole beginning of the gospel promise was the reconciliation of the world, and it began in Genesis. And that began in Genesis and became fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And now in Christ Jesus, once we say yes, once we say, I believe that promise, then we have been redeemed, and the process begins. The process begins. And it continues until you're dead, Peter. Until he's dead, until the teacher's dead, and until you're dead. So that you can constantly have these things in your remembrance, because the world has a whole different picture. The world has a whole different picture. We talked about this last time. The advertising, the everything that's built is around the body. The chair you're sitting in is kind of built around your body, isn't it? It's built to make the body comfortable. Here, let's get rid of these chairs. Have everybody stand up, you know. Everybody sit on the floor. Well, the Muslims do that just so you'd be uncomfortable. You know, just sit on the floor. Sit on a little magic carpet. You know, they bring their little rug. You know, the Muslims, they bring their little rug to sit on. We could do that. We could actually sell rugs. Amen? It'd be good. We could sell rugs here and, you know, make a little money for Jesus. They make money for Allah. We'll make money for Jesus selling rugs. I guess some places sell a lot of other things, you know. We could sell rugs. My son, forget not my law. That's the only connection that we have. The connection that we have is God's Word. He has revealed His Word to me. Amen? He's revealed His Word. What I want to do is bring you into a position to where you essentially forget the world except with regard to ministry. Amen? I know you got to go to work tomorrow. I know you got to go to the bathroom after the service. You know, I know you probably got to eat lunch just so you can go to your job. Okay? So I know there are these physical parts that have to be taken care of. But there, you know, Paul says, I count this, the whole thing is dung. The whole nine yards, everything that surrounds me. It's only about the kingdom of God. You know, now we've got, you know, we're preaching on Job here. You know, the final point that God brings to Job is, where were you when I created the entire universe? He expands Job's thinking and understanding to more than just, you know, me sitting on my couch, you know, wondering whether my kids are cursing God in their hearts. Amen? I mean, it was just the sum total of Job's life was wondering whether his kids had sinned or not, you know, to make God mad. God kind of opened the door, didn't He? Did God not open the door for Job and say, you know what? It's bigger than you were first thought. There's more than you first thought. There is a relationship and an understanding and a knowledge of God that He wants me to have. Now, I may not understand all of it, but I just acknowledge it. Huh? Am I talking to anybody? Is anybody kind of walking with me? Or He wants you to understand that there's more than you thought. Amen? Well, gee, is there life on other planets? That's not exactly what He had in mind. What He had in mind is, there's me. And I want you to know me. I want you to know me the way Adam knew me. The first guy, he knew me. The second guy, he didn't know me. It's all cut off. It's gone. The line was cut. They only knew God, you know, outwardly. Nobody knew God inwardly like Adam knew God. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, except Jesus, the second man. The second man. And I'm in Him, and He's in me. My son, forget not my law. Don't forget it. Don't forget, that is, put it on the inside. But let your heart keep, guard, observe. Because this is what will change you. This will change your mind, translate you from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what will change me, is meditation on His Word, not just wrote A, B, C, D, E, F, G, not just, you know, memorization, but fellowship. Meditation is not just memorization of the Word of God. Memorization is helpful to do that, but it's fellowship. Fellowship with Him is meditation on the Lord is fellowship with Him. Spending time in His presence. Oh, Lord God. And that means just not the Baptist version. I'll just call it the Baptist version, the evangelical version of, your quiet time. Now, I grew up in the evangelical Bible Belt Campus Crusade Young Life, time, where it was all about your personal time, with your quiet time, your personal time with God, That's good to start with. It's good to start with, to teach a young person to start with, but that's just the beginning. You should never limit it. You should never limit it. You should never limit it to your 5 or 10 minutes just because of a physical hindrance of having to go to school, having to go to work. Quit making it convenient. We make the gospel very convenient for people. And making the gospel so convenient so that it can fit into your, so the gospel can fit into your busy life. That's what the churches have done, is created a gospel that fits into your daily life. Forget it. Your daily life is over. Once you meet Jesus, you have no daily life. You live only in eternity. You live only in eternity. And God's got to define that for you. You can't just say, well, I can't do that, or I'm going to do that, and then you'll get disappointed because you fail. So what you do is you tell God, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what it means to live in eternity. But see, at least you're talking. At least you're having a conversation. At least you're opening the door to being able to have that ministry with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. This is good because you have to get out of the idea that I got to fit God into my world. Let's make time for God. No, don't make time for God. Everything else, I don't know how to do it. But what I'm saying is, God, you are everything, I am nothing. Whatever I have, do it. Whatever you need, do it in me. Now, don't try to figure that out. Let Him do it. Let Him produce that. You know what? He will. He'll actually mess up your life. He'll actually shift it around. And He'll want you to say, glory to God. And babe, like me, your life is kind of not what you expected. Amen? Your life is like, or at least maybe it is closer now, but there were some times that, oh boy, Lord God, what was all that, And the fact is, He just says, trust me. Trust me. Amen? So He's saying to Job, trust me. Trust me. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to show you things that you do not know. Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit was going to come and reveal to you everything that Jesus said. That you did not know. I have many things to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. Why not? Because you don't have understanding. You don't have the ability to have any understanding. You don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal this to you. Over in Deuteronomy, the last verse of 29 says, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. There's a secret. There's a secret you cannot know. Amen? And that you don't know apart from knowing Him. And to know Him is to know the secret. Amen? To know Him is to know the secret. To know Him. Or the secret is knowing Him. See, there's nothing more than knowing the Lord. That's the life that God has for you. But that's what you're designed for. You're designed for fellowship. Life in the presence of the kingdom. Life in the presence of the King. That's what you're designed for. So Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law. Forget it. Don't forget it. Don't keep it. Now, but rather, so he gives you the contrast. Forget not, but rather, doesn't say rather, but let your heart let it. Let it. Interesting word. Let it. You could not let it. Jesus said it. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, you could. Heart, are you troubled? Yeah, I'm really troubled. Don't be troubled. Well, I'd rather be troubled. Kind of feels better. Makes me feel like I'm alive. You know, it makes me feel like I'm accomplishing some true mourning, some true desperation. No. Well, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, I'd like to accommodate you, but I think I'll be troubled. See, your heart is ruled. Your heart in that case is, your unrenewed heart is ruling you. I think I'll be troubled today. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it, don't be afraid. I'm afraid. What would happen if you were to not bow to fear? I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid to not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither to let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let it not be troubled. Let it not be afraid. He says, let your heart keep my commandments. Guard my commandments. Hold them. Observe them. Look over them. Watch them. Keep them constantly before you. That's why they had the phylacteries, remember? Is they strapped them around their head. Always keep them before your eyes, you know, so they decided, well, I think I'll get myself a box. Wrap up a little thing and put it right there. Where when I cross my eyes, I'll see it. Yeah, put your finger right here. Can you see that finger? It's kind of like your eyes cross, don't they? Just look at that thing. See, that's what they did. They strapped it right to their forehead, right between the two eyes, so they'd always have it in front of them. Of course, and then the Pharisees got one. They decided they wanted you to know that they were carrying it around, so they got one about as big as Sally's bag here. And just hang it right there. You know, they used to walk around with that. They'd bump into things. Had big, big, big thing. Had the whole Bible. It's like if I had my whole Bible and strapped it to my head. Yeah, that would be the way to go, to keep the Word always in front of me. They're preaching a sermon by doing that, right? Well, what do you do to keep it constantly before you? Is you fellowshipping with Him? You read, study the Word. You open the Word of God. Let it come into you. And then you're meditating upon it. And then on top of that, you worship Him as you don't even know how. Father, I just love you. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what? How'd you learn to talk? Following your mom and daddy around. You know, boo-boo, goo-boo. You know, go up to a chair. And one day you figured out how to say juice. One day you figured out how to say chair. One day you figured out how to say Jesus. Amen? You began to walk around. You began to know who He was. You began to know the presence of the Lord. Verse 2, chapter 3. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Okay? So, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. Guard them, keep them, look over them, watch them, you know. Babysit them. Let your heart babysit my commandments, my word. For, because length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. You need something added to you. You're missing something, so you need it added. So these things will add to you. They will, increase you. Let not mercy and truth, here's the reciprocal, but it's a positive, it's still a positive. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. That is, don't forsake these promises, this word. Don't forsake it. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor in doing so. Could put the words in doing. In doing so, you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, when we come and we preach and we tell you that God loves you and you are the most wicked, foul critter on the planet, and so is the person next to you, it's only to bring you to a position of need. You need the bad news before you get the good news. You know, you need to know why you need it. There's somebody, you could preach somebody the gospel all day long, but if they don't see a need for it, It's not going to help them. I'm okay. You know, a lot of people, you know, they preach the gospel saying, you know, well, your life is going to get much better. Well, usually what happens is your life gets more worse than it ever was when you receive the gospel. You might get healed, but boy, you know, then all hell breaks loose because the enemy wants to keep you and Jesus wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to take you, he wants you dead. They both want you dead, right? God and the devil, they both want you dead. You know, one guy wants to kill you before you get grown up. You know, that's what abortion's all about. Kill that baby before it gets grown up. Enough to come out, you know. You know, kill it before it becomes, before it even looks like a baby. Well, that's what the devil wants to do to you. Kill you before, kill you in the womb. Remember the story of Mark and the seed, you know? Some of them get put in the ground. That's kind of the womb, right? Get in the ground there. And, you know, it tries to come up. And, you know, the heat of the day. Let's put the heat of the day on that thing. And it just dies. Right? That thing just dies. Put rocks in the ground. Put it in the ground with some rocks. You know, and that thing will, oh, it'll come right up. But then it'll just die. It'll just choke. And then you got the weeds choking it out. You know, there's a lot of word that goes out there. It's just on hard ground. And people just, you know, they say something, but who knows? There's no fruit. You know, there's no fruit at all. But I tell you, when you put it in good ground, there's still a lot of root growing to do. There's still a lot of root growing to do. It's tough. It's a tough life for a young plant. You know. Amen, young plant. Don't worry, young plant. You know, trust the Lord. It's okay. He'll be by with some water and some sun. Just rejoice. Oh, rejoice. Rejoice. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding. Good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Here it is, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Put all of your trust with your heart in the Lord. And lean not. You know, I have a tendency to lean back on my own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, I think I'll. Everybody, look up here. I think I'll lean on what I know. I trust this stand. I trust this music stand. God says, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm leaning over here off into the air with nothing to support me." You know, what if I were to? I might fall over. I might fall over, but I think I'll lean back over on this podium. Oh, that's much more comfortable. I feel like I can trust this podium. With all my heart, I'm trusting this podium. What if it were to break? It's man-made. What if it were to, you know, what if somebody didn't tighten it? What would happen to me then? I would fall down. I would have no support. Amen? I would have no support. But I hope nothing comes out of this Bible. My whole life's in here. What'd I just say? I didn't even plan to say that. No, my whole life's in here. Hey, this podium got taller. This ain't right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways. Now, there are ways that I don't want to acknowledge Him. There's you know, a lot of ways I don't want to acknowledge the Lord because I'm comfortable in my own way. I think I've got it, I'm at least comfortable with it. I know it's not God. I know my way is not God, but at least I'm comfortable with it. When He says trust in the Lord with all your heart, what He's telling you is let go of the things that you trust in. Let go of the things that you lean on. Like your husband, like your wife,
like your children. My gosh, we've raised them, right? Glory to God. I'm sure glad they'll turn out. What if they don't turn out? What if it looks like they're not turning out? What if it looks like your job is not turning out? I mean, you did everything, went to college, you know, shook all the right hands. What happens? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what? He's, you know, underneath are the everlasting arms, right? It's true. It's all you have. All you have is what God gives you. But you don't want to think that. You want to think, not that you're not lovely people and good Christians, but I'm peeking in and grabbing your heart. Grabbing my own heart. Is that we're so used to trusting what we know and what we've done. Amen? And every day you want to get up and say, God is good. Every day you want to get up and say, Lord, I trust you. Because I don't know what's happening today. You know? I mean, Iran might get that nuke. You don't know. You turn on Fox News. Why do you turn on Fox News or whatever news you turn on? Why do you turn it on? Find out what's happening. Find out if the airport is still there. Find out if a tornado hit something. Why do you turn on the news? Who cares? Isn't there enough trouble for one day for you by yourself without worrying about what Brit Hume is talking about? Huh? Let's see. What is there I can worry about today? You know, what's Congress doing? Go turn on C-SPAN. What's Congress doing? Find out what Congress is doing. Dear me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Yeah, you turn on the stuff. I do it too. The thing is, don't trust in that. Don't trust in that to make your day or break your day. Amen? Hallelujah. Your day is made already for you. Your day is not broken. There's no day that's broken for you. Amen? Every day you wake up, glory to God. Hey, still here. Hey, she's still here too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Kids run in. Hey, the kids are still here. Wow. Praise God. This is so good. It's so good. Listen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. My understanding is, I told you, this podium is very strong. And you saw, boy, what if somebody turned the knob on this thing? Boom. I just lost my Bible and everything. It just went on the floor. Didn't it? Huh? Can you trust man? I mean, I thought to do that. What if somebody else thought to do that? I mean, there's IEDs over there in Iraq. How about that? Somebody puts a bomb in your road? Huh? I mean, what if somebody puts a bomb in your life? I don't mean like a boom bomb, but I mean like a, you know, something. Just something. The devil loves to put things in your life. The devil loves to... The enemy has designed a world with booby traps. And you're the booby. Amen? That he's trying to trap. You're the guy he's trying to get. You're the one he's trying, you're the girl he's trying to get with all of his traps. He's trying to trap you, trick you, bring you in. You know, he's trying to trick kids. The devil likes to trick kids and make them think that their parents aren't quite right. But the kids need to say, no, in the name of Jesus, God said to honor my parents. And in that would be long life. Honor my parents. Because you know what? Your family, by and large, I know there are instances, but by and large, your family is the first line of defense. The ones who love you, care for you. Again, I know there are bad examples. But again, by and large. And then secondly, your church family. I'm not saying the church office. I'm saying those, you come in and you build relationships. You come in and you spend, don't have to be the center of attention. Just come in and be. Just come in and be part of the body and let God put the parts of the body in where He has placed them. Amen? He will put you in place. Just be here. When you're there, it's, you know, oh, well, yeah. When you're there, number one, you're not missing.
There's a Bible study that I go to that, you know, I felt like the Lord had me start going to with a bunch of guys who are ministers and what all. Pastor Jim doesn't go to this one. But the Lord has just knit me together with these guys. And we don't all agree on everything. But He's just knit me together with their hearts because we love one another. Amen? It's not because I'm right or they're right. It's because we love Jesus. We love the Lord, and they're not oddball. They're not out there. You know, they just may not agree with me on A, B, or C. You know. But we love Jesus. And you know what? If you just show up, those of you who have shown up today, I'm sure this is a good message for you, is God's putting you in place. Amen? Powerful? Don't look for stuff. Don't try to get fixed up, get yourself, you know, wangle your way into a particular position. Show up, and in your private time, private life, love the Lord. And let He will put you in place. He'll bring you, He'll bring it to pass. And when I say show up, I don't mean just show up for the message. Then I mean stay. Show up and then stay. Amen? Come on, you get the message, fine. You run off and, I mean, you could listen to that on the internet. Well, I couldn't see Pastor Jim get up on the chair. Well, maybe one day we'll have TV on the internet. You know, you can see him. But to come and to fellowship and to be part of the body. Now, because there's a program, now I'm not trying to get in on anybody's case. I'm just preaching. It's just preaching. Amen? Now, if God gets on your case, that's not my problem. But it says for you to not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. And I don't believe that just means for the message. Amen? And it means, you know, and they say they gathered from house to house. You know, they gathered from house to house. Daily. This is a daily, daily deal, wasn't it? Amen? I mean, because your whole new life is now built around the people of God. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the fellowship of the saints. Because the saints are perfect. No. Because you are not perfect. And you need to be banged up a little bit. You need to be roughed up by your fellow saints. They love the Lord. You love the Lord. Amen? And He will cause you to be one. He'll cause you to be unified. My prayer that they all be one. Well, the one has to do with coming together in the worship and the praise of God. See, you have the kingdom of God, a microcosm of the kingdom of God, a little kingdom of God right there. Amen? But it's the same everywhere, but it's the kingdom of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, all your ways, and He shall direct your paths. It says, a man shall plan his way, and the Lord shall direct his steps. Say, I'm going to plan to go down to the end of the aisle. But then I may end up down here. You ever had a day like this? You just can't get there. Does anybody have a day like that? I'm going there. Then I'm going to come home. My gosh, you never get there and you hardly got home. Right? You ever had a day like that? So you begin the day. Father, I thank you that I got this plan today. I'm going to write down my list. But I know you'll direct my steps and I trust you. So in other words, if my plan gets messed up, I don't worry about it because I love Jesus. And I'm going to let God do it. Now, it may look like your plan got messed up because the devil messed it up. Huh? It may look like the devil messed up your plan. That's okay. God knows the devil's in there. He knows the devil's in the details. You know, He's in there messing up the details. You all right? The devil may cause a lot of the details. There were no details involved. I was just going down there to the end of the aisle and coming back. There are no details in that. How hard is that? You know, I know the Bible didn't say there's devils in the details, but the fact is that you feel like He is because He's the one who made a bunch of details where it should have been simple. Well, this should have been simple. Just raise kids the way they ought to go and they ought to go that way. Well, you know what? Hey, how many know it doesn't work that way? I'm sure my mama had great plans for me. Now look, you know,
And Chad, golly, you know. Golly, man, yeah. What a disappointment, right? Don't you feel like a failure? Praise God. Me too. Yeah, it's good. Me and Chad would just spend time together.
Fellowship
and over our remorse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Now, who told everybody? Pastor Jim said he was going to be back on Thursday. Right? He said he was going to be back. Did he ever say he's going to be gone for 2 weeks, two Sundays? He did? Oh, I blame him then. Praise the Lord. Huh? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm here too. Amen. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Trust in the Lord. See, I'm going to go all the way to that end of that door, and then I'm going to come back. But the Lord.